responsible for the vote-by-mail process. And later today, certainly by noon, I hope we will have assembled our first group of ballot processors, which means the ballot, separating the ballots from the envelopes. Once that happens, the ballots will be queued up in locked cages, and they will be brought in for tabulation the next time that the board meets. So going forward, today, once the authorizations are made, we will begin cutting open the ballots. Mary Hall's separating team will be in separating the ballots, and they will be staged for tabulation. That tabulation cannot take place until the logic and accuracy test takes place, which takes place on Wednesday. The logic and accuracy test takes a morning, and what you'll see at the time, you'll see 65, John, I think that's the number, 65 machines in this room, which represent the statutory percentage of the tabulation machines and express vote, which are the machines for the handicap, that will come in here. They'll be zeroed out. A test deck will be run for you to determine whether the machine accurately reflects the test deck, and then the machines will be taken to zero and locked back down. In March, we had a pretty successful run of this, but we didn't know as much about coronavirus as we know now. And this arrangement, as you can see, Commissioner Udine, is a little different than we had before. And I think we're going to have a different situation for logic and accuracy. And what I propose with everyone's consent, it's going to be a little clunky, but we need more room in this facility for the 65 machines to go around the wall and to create columns, and have sufficient room for the public. So what I propose is that we meet, and by we I mean the three of us, council, and this is, by the way, Patricia Santiago, who is our scribe, that we meet inside the room here. There are tables along this wall here where there are windows where we can meet and observe the staff while the staff conducts the tests that it require. It allows us to communicate with each other on the record, and it will allow the public to be able to observe as well, and give the staff the kind of social distancing that we're beginning to expect in our public discourse here. So that's if there's any amendment to that, there's lots of better ways to do things, and we're trying to do them better all the time. But that's the, given the space limitations, I think that is a good way to go forward.
Are there any drawbacks to that,
Council?
From a legal impediment, no. The canvassing board is required to observe the logic and accuracy and would vote to approve, presumably, if everything goes smoothly as expected. And the fact that it's across glass doesn't create a legal impediment or a legal impairment. And any members of the canvassing board that for any particular reason wish to come in to this room to physically observe up front and personal the testing of the machines would have the ability to do so. Just not the ability to have tables set up in here, maintain social distancing given the number of machines.
I think there's a question.
Yes. Cameron Snell, on behalf of the Republican Fire Board. How will the test results be passed from this room to the canvassing board? Come back and forth? The test deck?
Judge. There's oral communication.
How are you going to see the numbers?
We'll have to walk them back and forth so that everybody can see.
Okay.
It's not much different, Judge, than the way we do it now.
Right.
The staff collects the numbers, prepares the documents, and then presents them to the board. So the same would hold true then, collect the numbers, walk outside around, present the numbers to the board.
The only issue is that the results are going to be out of public view at some point. That's the only concern that I would be.
Anybody that wants to see them would be welcome to see them, as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
Do you need a motion from us on that, or I guess?
I think as far as the authorization to process, to open and process, yes, that requires a board action.
All right, I'll make a motion to authorize the opening and the slitting of processing of the ballots to prepare for next Wednesday, for Wednesday's logic and accuracy.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, it's unanimous. All right. The next item up is the procedures regarding the conduct of board meetings, including public participation. We touched on that a little bit, but there's some more detailed procedures that are.
So if I could just set the stage, Judge, sure. I want to thank counsel for drafting these guidelines. They do appear on our webpage for the public, and they're the product of general thinking amongst ourselves here, but I welcome any additional additions or subtractions to this proposal. So I'd ask counsel to make the presentation.
Thank you, sir. To the canvassing board, in light of the current pandemic and various emergency orders and executive orders from Governor DeSantis, as well as emergency orders here in Broward County, we've prepared some draft proposed guidelines for the procedures of the canvassing board for this August. A number of them should look somewhat familiar because they are similar to the requirements that are at various public meetings throughout Broward County and honestly throughout the state of Florida. The first item, I'll just run through them in order. There's one Scrivener's error that I want to comment on when we get to it, but just briefly, as you all saw coming into the VEC this morning, there is a screening equipment to screen people for fever, and the proposal is that individuals with a temperature in excess of 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or with symptoms consistent with COVID as observed by security coming in would not be permitted entry. And that's not just for purposes of the canvassing board meetings, that's generally. And this is based on CDC guidelines and recommendations. The next bullet point is just sort of confirmation that the Broward County emergency orders relating to COVID, which include without limiting the requirement to wear facial coverings, maintain social distancing, also apply to the VEC, just as they do throughout Broward County. The next bullet is, again, just confirmation that the in-person public inspection of vote-by-mail ballot envelopes proceeds per the schedule. That is a statutory requirement that there be a reasonable opportunity to observe and inspect vote-by-mail ballot envelopes prior to them being processed. That will continue, I believe, on the schedule is at 8:15 every morning through Election Day. The next item is where we start to get into changes. Usually during canvassing board meetings, based on the agenda, there may be items that are brought before the canvassing board, such as ballots to be duplicated, ballots where there was no signature or a signature mismatch was detected either mechanically, electronically, or by a staff member that the voter provided curative affidavits for, that would be brought to the canvassing board for review and then for approval. There was also an opportunity during those canvassing board meetings for members of the public to review those items before they are considered by the canvassing board. In lieu of that, the recommendation is that each morning before the canvassing board meets, that there's another public inspection, a public inspection of the items that are going to be brought to the canvassing board that day. SOE staff person would be available with the items that will come before the canvassing board for any members of the public to come look at them and basically flag any items that they would like to have the canvassing board separately consider and accept comment from them on. Once those items are pulled, they would be separated from the remainder so that when the canvassing board meets, members of the public via Zoom or otherwise would be able to raise those particular items for of concern and be brought to the canvassing board for consideration. We did include a sort of catch-all that the canvassing board may establish some additional inspection materials that must be considered in a timely fashion. Let's say there was an emergency during a canvassing board meeting and something would need to be considered. The canvassing board would be able to establish an additional public inspection period before voting on that particular item. The next item is a confirmation of statute, but is worth mentioning, which is that ballots themselves may be viewed during public inspection period. However, the signature of the voter is confidential. This is per statute and is exempt from being copied, video recorded, or photographed. The next is one of the items that Mr. Wolf was speaking about earlier, which is that all canvassing board meetings are going to be streamed via the internet, via a teleconferencing program, so that public members of the public have a reasonable opportunity to observe and participate, and that a link will be prominently posted, as was discussed earlier, on the Broward Supervisor of Elections website. At the bottom of the first page, we had included something to address issues relating to members of the public physically being present in meetings based on social distancing requirements, which is that other than SOE staff, individuals that are specifically identified by statute, for example, a representative of the parties with technical knowledge and expertise that wants to observe logic and accuracy or the processing of and tabulation of vote-by-mail ballots, or as requested by the canvassing board or approved by the canvassing board to be physically present, no other individuals will be physically permitted into the canvassing board meeting room during meetings. Everybody, any member of the public, will have the opportunity to participate via the teleconferencing online portal. There's a Scrivener's error in there that would read just as I commented there on the second line. It would say, following the comma, no other individuals will physically be permitted into the canvassing board room. On to the next page, just commenting about, as Mr. Antonacci mentioned earlier, that the canvassing board meeting room has certain capacity limitations, so observers may be reduced to accommodate persons that are statutorily authorized to be present, and others may observe through the online portal, and that and except during times designated for public comment. And this has nothing to do with COVID. It is, again, just meeting requirements. That members of the public are prohibited from interrupting the canvassing board meetings except to make an objection or respond to an inquiry by the canvassing board. The rest are really, to some extent, boilerplate, which is everybody should have their cell phones on vibrate or silent, and that individuals that are participating through the meeting portal or via telephone will be muted until the time for public comment or objections are being considered. That individuals who violate the procedures can be barred from the canvassing board meeting room at the direction of the chair as you are running the meeting, Judge. And finally, just the catch-all where you have the ability to modify the procedures at any time to ensure that canvassing board meetings are performed in a timely and orderly fashion, and so that members of the public have a meaningful opportunity to observe and participate. I'm happy to answer any questions or accept feedback, and following which, if there is a motion to approve or modify, we can address that at that point.
So a question on the first bullet point. About individuals with temperatures exceeding 100.4, who makes that decision? I mean, obviously, there's going to be a readout, but ultimately, who is the one responsible for?
If the canvassing board adopts these procedures as they are written here, that is the decision, that individuals with a fever or with COVID symptoms would not be permitted into the building for the safety and welfare of the others that are here.
Okay.
And then all of the technology and all the Zooms and all the online stuff is recorded?
Yes, I believe the Zoom is set up for recording. There's also electronic audio recording of all canvassing board meetings as well. So the videos are available, or videos are recorded, and then the videos are streaming online as well.
Okay.
Keep it.
Go ahead, sir.
To understand, on the opening of the envelope, removing the ballot from the envelope, a member of the canvassing board will be in the room, or will they be moving it through a video?
I can address that. By statute, the observation is not required to be physically in person. In fact, many canvassing boards around the state just require there be a canvassing board member in the building, generally speaking, but there will be a member of the canvassing board or an alternate member of the canvassing board in this room observing via what will be the larger television that I am told is going to be there. So they will be observing all of the opening and separation.
And they're going to be in this building?
Oh, absolutely. There, we have scheduled individuals to be present for all tabulation. The canvassing board member that will be watching tabulation will be in this room watching tabulation and watching the opening and processing of the ballots.
Last thing regarding the envelopes, blocking the signature, will we be able to take a picture of that envelope with the block signature by the staff? So it's speed up the process of collecting the names of the, for example, the missing signature envelopes?
We'll be happy to give you the list of names if you'd like, or you can take a photograph with the signature block.
Okay, thank you.
Judge, this may be repeating the obvious to Commissioner and the judge, but these are broad outlines for the conduct for the of the board the next 3 weeks. And keep in mind that we haven't touched on recounts. I think Nathaniel and I have sort of averted our eyes from the issue of recounts for now.
Don't you have to repeat the supervisor's creed before you do an election?
I know my colleagues
from that meeting that we went at, there's a creed.
Yeah, my colleagues do, I know.
Throw salt over your shoulder.
Right.
But some of this may have to be substantially modified.
Sure.
If there is a recount, because things turn over pretty quickly, and the level of emotion, so the stakes get much more sharp, and we may have to modify this for the interest of transparency and the rest.
Makes sense. But we'll deal with that should that need arise.
I'll make a motion to approve the procedures as outlined by the attorney.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Do you know this?
Judge? I've got some a few items that I wanted to put out here for you as a follow-up to the initial remarks I made. and we have a sunshine law in this state, and sunshine law, the prudence of that was decided a long time ago. But I know people in other states can't figure out how we ever get anything done in Florida with the sunshine law. It's so clunky. So we're not able to communicate, but I would communicate this to you individually if I could, but I wanted you to keep in mind this cycle, things that perhaps you've already figured out, that this is a very different election because of virus. We see it already with the distancing. But for election administration purposes, which you are an integral part of, what we're doing today and what we'll do here for the next 3 weeks takes on additional freight than it has in the past, simply because of turnout. And not just turnout, but the mix of turnout. So Broward County, based on our research, has never exceeded 25% turnout in an August primary in a general election year. August tends to be pretty low turnout. And so for budgetary purposes and for planning purposes, we, as your staff, have prepared for a 25% turnout. And in the past, early voting was the predominant form of voting, at least over the past 8 to 10 years. Early voting was very popular, particularly in Broward County. Vote by mail was always in third place. But things begin to change, and I think vote by mail is a little bit like crack cocaine. I think once people start doing it, they get jumped up on it, and they like it because they can do it from their kitchen table. They can do it conveniently, etc. So in the 2019 municipal election here in Broward, for the first time ever, more people voted by mail than in person. So the trend is going that way. Notwithstanding the presence of the virus. And so at 25%, we're at about 350,000 voters will turn out. We've already had an excess of that amount of requests for ballots. To be sent in by mail. So it's entirely possible, there's no absolutely predicting the future, but it's entirely possible that our in-person voting experience this time will look like a municipal election. Very, very low turnout in person for all the reasons we know. But that means that the balance of that, between 200 and 300,000 ballots, will be your responsibility. And the responsibility of staff. And what I'm hoping to do is to use your time efficiently and prudently, recognizing that there are other things to do in your day jobs, and that we will gather as needed. And that the gathering, for the most part, will be for the purposes of watching the tabulation and to deal with all the ancillary things that Mr. Klitzberg mentioned. There's lots of things that have to go on. Duplication issues, signature issues, and then towards the end, provisional ballots and the like. But I think the need for oversight is greater now than ever because of the volume, and I think public expectation will be that we keep a really sharp eye on what's going on, because I think the outcome of every election will almost certainly be decided in the vote-by-mail process.
Posted, the Zoom link is not on the website.
It is not, because it hasn't been approved yet. It was approved, it will go on the website now.
Okay.
And I think that covers the main things I wanted us to be sensitive to. We as staff are really sensitive to this, as you can imagine, because it puts out of the ordinary strain on our vote by mail team. We think there'll be more vote by mail ballots than appeared even in the general election in 2018 to process, and we know that that was not a sunny experience for the community. But on the good side, it will mean that our in-person voting, we don't have to worry as much about our staffing of in-person voting. You know, many communities have lost a lot of poll workers. We have not had that experience, and I think we'll be fully staffed up for poll workers. And along those lines, I wanted y'all to know that what the very aggressive steps the staff has taken to make sure that that experience is an experience that welcomes voters who do want to vote by mail, because many people like the experience of voting, voting in person. I do, as a personal matter. So at the polling stations, in person, early and on election day, all the poll workers will be masked, and masks will be available for voters who don't have them. The poll workers that are in closest contact with the voters will have face shields. Our poll deputies have been trained to socially distance the lines. If there are lines, I'll be surprised, but there may be lines and, you know, spot lines around the community. We are in the process of hiring a janitorial service for each of our locations. And Commissioner, I want to congratulate your staff for being very helpful because we have right now 383 polling sites for our 577 precincts on election day, and there may not be enough human beings out there to staff every polling site, but we're in the process of trying. All our early voting locations will have a janitor at each site, and that janitor will be responsible for spraying down the privacy booths each and every time that someone casts a ballot.
Wow.
We have done away with the stylus and the pad, wherein you recorded or evidenced your receipt of your ballot, which has been a little funky. John's staff was terrific in doing a workaround there. We didn't think people were going to want to touch a stylus. And the whole pad idea, I thought, and I think we all collectively thought, would not be well received. So in its place, John went out and bought a bunch of ray guns, you know, that you can shoot at the driver's license or whatever identification that you receive. And in place of the pad, there will be a piece of paper you will be given and a pen that is encased in a plastic sleeve that's never been touched by anyone else. And you'll be able to take the pen out of the sleeve, sign the receipt, and then take your ballot over to your privacy booth that has been cleaned since the last person has voted. So we hope that those things, in a rather bizarre turn of events, encourages people to go to vote in person so that they take the pressure off of this that we have in front of us here, which would be very different from experiences in the past. And one other thing I wanted to put it on the record, if nothing else. A month ago, we thought we were locked down in our locations. We thought all our in-person voting locations for Election Day were secured. But it's almost like a dynamic database. You know, the more people hear about COVID cases going up, the more concerned they get and the more actions they take. And so last week, when our staff began calling the various Election Day voting locations to set up delivery schedules for the equipment, we began getting pushback. And so last week we lost 3 polling places. All of them private facilities. We've relocated them immediately into public facilities. But it does create an issue with voters that you may hear about, because we're now under 30 days. We're required to notify every voter in every precinct that's been moved. And some of these precincts have thousands of voters. So each one of them is going to get a mailing that says your precinct location has been changed. A large percentage of those will go into the circular file in the family kitchen. But people will show up on Election Day and be distressed to find that their polling place has been relocated. We had quite a bit of this in March, there were signage and deputy sheriffs and et cetera to redirect voters, but there was a lot of dissatisfaction. And you may hear some of that dissatisfaction as the number of Election Day polling locations, we're evicted from those locations and we have to relocate to others. But that's all process that's going forward here while y'all are out in the community as canvassing board members, and you're likely to hear people talking about this in either a positive or less than positive way. So as we go forward, I'll try to keep you briefed up on these issues, these election administration issues that may affect our proceedings here. And finally, it's our goal as we go forward to put out as accurate information as we possibly can to help manage community expectations. And to that end, last week, on the website, we began posting the number of vote-by-mail ballots that had been requested and the number of ballots that had been returned. And so as of today, we have approximately 60,000 ballots in hand, which you'll have to take my word for it. It's a lot of processing by Mary Hall's people of physically separating the ballots from the envelopes, and we have about 370,000 vote by mail requests. So it's a heap of work that's going to take place in that room and in the back, and will be our responsibility here to criticize, evaluate, and ultimately report to the state the results of the August primary.
Have you, with regard to the notice of the polling places being moved, those notices have gone out?
2 of the 3 went out last week.
Okay.
One will go out today. But I think there'll be more this week.
And just for my own curiosity, the envelope, is it just a plain envelope that, or does it say, you know, important information contained inside?
It says, it has that logo, and it says, the post office logo that says important voting information.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great.
Sure. the goal of us and back there, we're going to try and do what we did with the municipal elections as far as having every mail-in ballot that we have before Election Day tabulated, and we're not going to run into the same thing as 2018 where Election Day, because I know Election Day we're going to get a big hit with this, but in 2018 the problem was that there was some backup still left in there, and it kind of threw everything off kilter. Our goal is the same as what we've done in the last few elections, to get everything counted and tabulated first.
Mary Hall and I have a blood oath that we're going to get to zero every night. So that come Election Day, and you know, we had 15,000 in 2018 on Election Day ballots were received. It just choked. It just choked everything up. And so we're going to get to zero every day. And to forefend a little bit against what you're touching on, Commissioner, we're going to make at least three now runs to Opa-locka to do pickup on Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon of Election Day, and then Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So these ballots are metered in here in a little bit more manageable, if not predictable, way.
Thank you. I think there's a question in the back.
Yeah, Neil Lyon, Deputy Counsel, Democratic Holding. I have a question about the notifications. Is that going to be online at all, or is there going to be your polling location changes online beyond the statutory requirement that you send them something? People going to be able to go to the website and see your location is now this firehouse?
There's a list of polling locations on the on our webpage, right on the face page. You just punch on it, and the locations that I've mentioned here this morning have already been changed on the webpage.
All right. Anything? So, the next issue is when we meet next. We have Logic and Accuracy on Wednesday, but nothing beyond that. So I'm going to ask you, what do you propose, given what you said?
It's going to depend on volume. And what I propose to do for the Logic and Accuracy is we can't tabulate anything until y'all have approved the use of the machines. Once that is done, if possible, John, if this works, to tabulate those ballots that have been processed effective, let's say, noon on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, Logic and Accuracy testing, it'll take the morning, and then in the afternoon, well, we can have our first taste of running of the high-speed machines. Just thinking ahead a little bit, there may be 15,000 or so ballots that will be prepared for tabulation. John, how long will 15,000 ballots?
About four and a half hours.
No, for all of these machines?
All of them, 15,000 ballots?
Yeah.
You have to change precincts.
Yeah, that's the issue. So we'll do as much of that as we can on Wednesday, and then after that, play it by ear. And then subject to the call of the chair and council, will communicate with you on our proposals.
So in terms of the tabulation, per DOE guidance and opinion and per Florida law, there only need be one member of the canvassing board present during the tabulation. We have alternates that are scheduled as may need be when the canvassing board is not in session having a formal meeting for observations. So we can address that on a day-by-day basis as needed.
Okay, so for right now, we have Wednesday, and we can have an idea of where we're going on Wednesday.
Right. Presumably, as the board may wish, based on the number of duplications that may need to come in, overseas ballots, we'll be able to make a determination, and the board can vote as to when there'll be another formal meeting following the LNA.
One other thing I want to like to bring to y'all's attention, and that is the good fortune that we've had for the August election is that we only have a single page ballot, two-sided, but single page.
The machines work very efficiently with a single-page ballot. Managing expectations, it's not going to be so great come November. We know that for a half a dozen of our communities now, we'll have at least a three-page ballot and more likely a four-page ballot, which will change the dynamics of how the machines, how efficiently they tabulate results.
All right, so just reiterating, we've got Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. logic and accuracy, and we'll go from there. Is there a comment? Anybody have any comments? Statements, comments? Okay. Hearing none.
Motion to recess to Wednesday at 9.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Unanimous.